Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today, or guests of honor today, are first and foremost Mr. Thomas Kort. He is the managing partner of RMS Projects in Hamburg, Germany, and also Mr. Anders Poulsen, who is head of projects at RMS Projects rep office in Denmark. First and foremost, gentlemen, welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bo.
Starting with you, Thomas, I would like to do, as I always do with my interviewees, allow you a brief word here to tell our viewers here, how did you got into shipping in the first place? Why are you not sitting in a bank or in an accountancy firm?
How to start? Actually, all my family background, there was a bit of maritime, but more on tax and stuff like that. But most of my relatives were with police, custom, or stuff like this. And this was, I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And I had a neighbor who was owning a shipping company. And he always said, no. Yeah, you know, think twice. And I was 16, something like this. I said, no. And at one time, there were school holidays. I needed money. And he said, I pay you 5 German mark per day. Would you come? And I said, yes. And then I remember the first vessel I was on board in my life, a cargo vessel, was a ship called, I remember very well, Pulley Crusader, 148,000 deadweight. Oh. And I was flashed. I went on board, I saw this big ship. And then, you know, they gave me telephone numbers and said, okay, call custom, call police, order the bridge. And I was totally flashed. I decided shipping is good. Mm-hmm. And then I started my apprenticeship in 1978 until 81. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to another company where I had the first contact actually in 81, 82 with MPP vessels. But MPP vessels at that time were SD14, 36L, German Liberty replacement types, later on Tramco types and stuff like that. And I was there for 8 years. And then I went back to the company where I did my apprenticeship. This was in 88. I got partner in 95. Mm-hmm. And end of the 90s, we started ordering new buildings for our friends Jungerhans in Haren. And then we changed a little bit. We started with Reda and Arkon, if you may recall, and
yes, I remember.
Later on to Arkon, and now it's has been all renamed to RMS.
Okay. So quite a long career you've had starting in the early days.
I'm not 25 anymore.
but the experience certainly is there. Thank you, Thomas, initially here. So by the same token, Anders in Denmark, who are you and why are you not sitting in a bank or somewhere else?
Well, I was born into the business, being fourth generation of James Poulsen Shipping.
Oh, okay.
In my youth, I wanted, of course, be the rebellion that does something else. So, but then I ended up making an apprenticeship with Vico Shipping in Aarhus, just north of Copenhagen.
Yeah,
was there for 4 years, and that was in the late 80s, I'm somewhat younger than Thomas.
Okay.
And after my apprenticeship, I went to Hamburg as a volunteer. One could say, well, I was working for August Bolten for 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Learning what to do, and then was time to get on with it to see the world. Mm-hmm. It is quite normal for many Danish young shipping people. Then got a job offer in Hamburg again with Fragtkontor Junge, mm-hmm. Who had just after the wall went down had a cooperation with Black Sea Shipping Corporation. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting there together with Jens van Husen, and we were fixing these 25 Ukrainian vessels. I did that for almost 4 years, mm-hmm. and then returned to my father in 1996, called me and said, now it's time to to get home to the company.
Come back.
Yeah, come back, which I obviously refused.
Yes.
But it ended up that in 1997 I then started with J. Poulsen Shipping.
Okay.
And carried on with that for 20 years.
Okay.
Where amongst one of the things we made was Combi Lift, together with a German owner.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are the commercial arm for that. And then in 2016-17, it was not too happy times in mm-hmm. in shipping.
No.
And I had been looking a bit at some other investments in predominantly real estate, and it turned out that I actually could have a okay living by my real estate. So I I went away from J. Poulsen Shipping and just were living as an investor.
Okay.
Which then became too dull.
Yes.
It was not too much action, and then I did all kind of stuff, wallpaper, bicycle locks, and all kind of stuff. Okay. And then here during last year, the fall of last year, well, we started talking to Thomas and.
Okay.
My father, and whether that I wanted to rejoin shipping, and he said, well, you come to the company.
Okay.
And so, and Thomas and I, we then said, well, why not do something together then?
Okay.
And here we are.
Great. That's a fantastic story. Well, they say that you can take the man away from shipping, but you can't take the shipping away from the man. And it seems to me that both of you, and I think I can include myself, we all three in the same boat in this matter. So
yeah.
Very, very good introduction. And now turning back to RMS projects, Thomas, what can you tell me to our let's say layman viewer who may not be specialized in MPP and whatnot, what do you actually do? You are ship owners, are you offering your services to the market? What do you provide that is unique in your opinion?
Yeah, I think we are one of the very few companies who offer different services. On one hand, we are independent, that's important.
Okay.
So we are offering commercial ship management. So we have all the tools you need to manage vessels commercially. We also have exclusive vessels because not any and all owners like to sign typical commercial ship management contract, but of course we have the ships exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other big portion is that we call it the central chartering desk. The central chartering desk is used by some Rhenus offices, you know, Rhenus Projects Logistics.
Yeah.
With each office, I have my separate agreement, let's call it. So it's not automatically because Rhenus is a shareholder that we get the business, by no way.
Okay.
So, and the central chartering desk is really also specialized for heavy. Stuff. And besides Rhenus, we also have other clients who signed contracts with us for exclusivity.
Okay. Yeah, that's yes. Sorry, I just quickly have a follow-up question there. There's one thing with cross-ownership. So that means even Rhenus, which is a well-known, let's say, project forwarder and quite sizable, even they are kind of behind some of what you do and partner. That means, it doesn't mean that they all give everything to you just because of that. You have to fight for it. And you also welcome others to come to you, right?
Yes, that is correct. Now we started the cooperation, I don't know, some years ago with one Rhenus Projects office, and the other came, I think today we have maybe 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so with each of them, I have a separate agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no automatic. And we have other cargo owners, which are forwarders, but also small manufacturers, stuff like that. So we are fully busy, and it's all the cargoes we have. We work on exclusively. This is the condition.
Yes, Yes. Okay. That makes it clear in the market, because things are certainly changing, as you all know, with this supply chain. I mean, forwarders want to be ship owners. Ship owners want to be forwarders. There's no let's say normality really, but the market is very strong. And how do you see, if I ask you, Anders, you are now in working together with Thomas here, and of course being Danish like you are, of course I've heard of the Poulsen family from before. Does it mean that CombiLift, it is a thing of the past as such, or are you putting all your things into the pool, so to speak?
Well, CombiLift was, we left CombiLift in 2015, 16, something like
okay.
that. Okay. So the CombiLift, the CombiLift that is existing today is a different company.
Okay.
That has in principle nothing to do with the old company.
Okay.
So we as Poulsen, we have been, we have still have some vessels left. Only one vessel is left, the Thunderbird. Okay. Now. Then obviously we have, with what everything started here, which was the agency and stevedoring in the ports of Korsør and Stigsnes.
Right.
So that, but we are a completely different size than we were earlier. So that was the idea. So basically, this is also a way of doing a build up again.
I understand.
As a platform also to work together, because we, as you said, the times have changed, and you need more strength and you need wider shoulders to build up something. So and for that we do that together.
Very good. Now it's good to see that teamwork indeed can work. Thomas, how would you say the market has been very strong? I hear shippers, I hear project forwarders lamenting about where to find ships these days. Everything is fully booked. It's been a good last couple of COVID years. How do you see in your crystal ball, if you have a such, how is the market reacting still now?
Well, I... there are many, many factors. I think, personally, I believe that the market will stay at a high level at least for a year. Mm-hmm. And you also have to see the market, just to say generally, it's a bit difficult. You have different type of vessels. Yeah, you have ships which are older. You have vessels which will not comply anymore with the EEXI regulation or CII regulation. On the other hand, you have not many new buildings coming on, and you have booming markets like renewables. Also, when you look at oil and gas, it's really speeding up again.
Yeah.
And when you think about ships in our market, when you look at the top 30 ports, top 20 ship owners and stuff like that, so we are talking right now about 430 vessels only. Yeah, I think the total MPP fleet worldwide means tween deck and gear. It's not more than 1,000 ships. So in our segment, for example, typically the Beluga EF types. Yeah, it's a typical type of vessel. And for all of these ships, I think it's still good. The as I say, EEXI, CII will help as well, because when a vessel is not complying, there are different mechanisms coming. So if the vessel not comply with the regulations, they have maybe to reduce the power of the engine, means it's slower. Other vessels have to decrease dead weight, so you will not be competitive anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And when you look at our 420 ships, and you look at the age profile as well, something needs to be renewed in the next couple of years. If this is not done, it's good for the existing ships, of course.
Of course, yes.
When you look at this 420 ships, the biggest segment with 150 units out of this 420 is basically 10,000, 15,000 deadweight, which means Beluga.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you have smaller, when you go to smaller, like 8,000 or smaller, it's even much less. And when you look, there are no new buildings coming. Yeah, mm-hmm. And small ships also have a big advantage to go a little bit more to the niche ports, let's call it.
Yes.
So I would say for next year, it's still okay. Then it probably will drop. It also has a bit to do with all the container new buildings coming. Yeah. So right now, the container market is absorbing still a lot of bigger but old multi-purpose ships usually.
Yes.
And they will come out of charter in 1.5-2 years. So this will have an impact whether they can still trade, yeah, because they are not complying anymore.
Yeah.
So the regulation is to be seen, but I guess a drop will come. But yeah. We will not come to the point where we were before COVID. Not possible because everything has become more expensive.
Definitely, yes. One question I also have to you, I used to be a project forwarder myself, now turned a journalist, but one of the things I was very involved in many years ago was moving breakbulk cargo by container ships, which was, let's say, 20 years ago, impossible, but now more and more so, some of the container ship owners, they take bigger and bigger breakbulk pieces, even bigger projects on their container ships. Do you, of course, the market now is good for you, but do you see the container services as a competitor to the breakbulk ships in general, would you say, Thomas?
Well, yeah, generally in breakbulk, they will play a role. When it comes to a little bit more complicated cargo, mm-hmm. I don't see the role so much. So, you know, again, when you have vessels, 70-meter hatches, 100-meter hatches, it will be used for such cargoes. This is not general cargo.
Right.
General cargo, I see the Beluga EF types, but they also, how to say, you have to follow the needs of the cargo owners. Yeah? And maybe they are not happy in a liner service with a container ship from Shanghai to Hamburg or Rotterdam. They need it somewhere else. And but they play roles, same as RoRo, yeah, whatever can be rolled. But when you look at the car industry, I think somebody told me it's booming, like it will boom as well with the electric cars, secondhand cars. That means that maybe the car carriers need the space for the cars again. It's much better for them than to go into to project cargo.
Yeah, so they will not take so much high and heavy anymore. Yes, of course, that's a very good observation there, I believe. One thing I would like to ask as well, so if you feel that the market will be strong for another year, are the shipyards around the world fully booked? I mean, is there no space anymore to build anywhere currently?
Generally, the shipyards are full. Mm-hmm. But of course, you can always find in China, they are activating more and more shipyards. Actually, not so long ago, there were 800 shipyards in China. Then it was reduced to 400. Then at the end, let's say 12 months ago, you have had maybe 10 shipyards in China, which could build multi-purpose vessel heavy lifters, only 10.
Right.
Yeah, and big yards though, and many of them took container orders. There are also some bulkers. It's difficult to find a good shipyards with free slots. The ones which are there, they are fully booked, I must say.
Right. So it's happy days for the Chinese owners, and I suppose the Japanese and the Korean owners that used to be strong in the past, they are, what I just said, a thing of the past. It's too expensive there, I guess.
Yeah, well, Chinese, any shipbuilding will be more expensive every day.
Yeah.
I think traditionally Japan and Korea were not involved in multi-purpose heavy lift ships. There is no real, I'll say not the same level of experience like in China.
Okay.
Or over here, actually.
Yes. Are there any, now we're into shipyard, I mean, are there any yards in Europe left that make any kind of breakbulk heavy lift ships at all?
Well, the shipyards which can do it, but the pricing doesn't.
Of course.
It is more than double
yes.
compared to China.
Yes.
I mean, I have had one project, the price in China was 25 million and here it was 56. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not working.
No, it's clear. Anders, may I ask you also, sitting in Denmark, as you and I both know, and of course Thomas would know it as well, we were so proud, or at least we were proud. In my young days, there was something called Linø, but we are not building any ships in Denmark anymore, are we?
Oh, they're building windmills, so this is okay.
Okay, yeah, that leads me actually to another question to both of you. I can start with you, Anders. Renewable energy, that must be big business also for you and a big market, right?
Yeah, obviously, and for some years to come. I mean, the way that things are going with renewable energy is that there will be expansion of existing, and at some stage there will also be some renewment of existing windmill parks and stuff like that. So, right. So that is definitely a great part of what we are going to carry in the future.
Yeah, I was visiting Denmark recently and the test center up in the northwest of the country, and they said that the new tallest one is more than 270 meters. I mean, it's enormous. These blades have a length of I don't know how much, and everything just seems to be getting bigger, which must call for specialized tonnage, I suppose.
Yeah. It is, and you have onshore and you have offshore.
Yes.
Obviously, the offshore is going to be very, very big, and there you would say is will now be so big that maybe for commercial vessels or for you need the big heavy lift vessels or barges or whatever you need for that, but there's no doubt that the onshore will be very big and very large amounts of cargo that's going to be carried.
Yes. And I heard, Thomas, you mentioned briefly before about oil and gas, and it seems you mentioned oil and gas kind of have picked up again. So the wind turbines have not taken over all, it seems, right? I mean, oil and gas is back.
Well, the wind turbine business, the volumes are very big. I don't know what it is, but when you see the inquiries, when you speak to the windmill companies, they have a plan for the next, some of them have a plan for the next 8 to 10 years.
Yes.
Others for 2 years, for 3 years. So it's booming totally. Oil and gas and windmills, they like the same ships. They like right. long hatches.
Right.
They like good gear. They are offshore, you know, with the nacelles of 400, 500 ton, which will increase. I have seen plans in the future, especially for the US markets, where nacelles are above 1,000 ton. Yes, then you can forget. And the blades, 130 meter, is not unusual. It's on the market.
Gosh.
Yeah, and that's offshore. Onshore, for example, you know, onshore means you have to transport the stuff via the roads somehow.
Right.
So
right.
And then you have limits, like, but also. Onshore is 70, 80, over 80 meters in the meantime. And so also here, vessel with long hatches. Yeah. And when you see again the fleet, which I described before, tell me how many vessels you see and see the volume of windmill and oil and gas.
Yes.
And this is why I say, so certain in this segment of MPP, or heavy lift, a certain segment will have a very good future, I'm sure.
Definitely. Yeah, I saw one comment from Vestas, one of the Danish mega suppliers, that their result has gone down because of excessive logistics costs. So yeah. So they certainly have to get used to paying through the nose, at least nowadays. But in order to get back on track with RMS projects and the company that you are now are developing here further, if you should summarize, if I was a project forwarder and I have a project from Singapore to Hamburg, for example, then I could contact you, right?
Yes. You can contact us, and you know what we are offering is the whole scope. So if you say, okay, I'm experienced, I know what I do, then we do port-to-port. Everyone can do it.
Right.
But we also have clients who are really not in transportation, who doesn't know the terms. Yeah, they don't know the difference between liner in and free in.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, you're lucky. Yes. We are talking here about manufacturers. They have another target.
Ah, yeah.
You know, we are, our job is to mitigate the risk, yeah, mitigate damages, also to shift responsibilities.
Yes.
Depend on which side we are. So we are very experienced in this. So we are also, just for your guys, we are also working in the background. So we need to stay in the front. We have clients, yeah, to the market, they do it, but we are in the background.
Yeah.
And what they counter, we draft it.
Yes. So you know, in a way you might say that you're also, besides being ship owners and operators and managers, you are also consultants. I mean, like you say, people might do a very good product, but they don't understand to avoid risk when they want to do chartering themselves, but they can't. So they would come to you for advice, right?
Yeah. Yes. And we also have a situation where the people insist to speak directly with the carrier. Right. Yeah, because everything is getting more transparent. You know, everything is more closed.
Yeah.
So we are staying in the background. We have one huge contract since long. We are now in the front, but we started totally in the background. In the meantime, all parties agreed, okay, put RMS in the middle to coordinate.
Yes. It seems to me that you have a very good business plan there, and of course you have a know-how since many years. I think the both of you with a strong history there, so very impressive. Now I can't really think of any particular questions more off the top of my head. Maybe just one quick final one to you, Anders. Are you now happy coming back from real estate to shipping again?
Well, I still have my real estate and to fall back on if it doesn't work. but the thing was that my investment thing was that that's not getting into the daily business, and now I'm into the daily business, and yes, we are having a good time.
It's fun, so
we should also see that I do it also because it's fun and because I like it.
Yes.
Not for economical reasons only.
Yeah. And I'd like to conclude in a way to say that somebody told me here, finally, after Corona and supply chain crisis, now people know what we do in shipping for a living. Because before we, what do you ship? Or they don't really understand it. They just know that, let's say, the equipment or the cargo is there when they need it. Now they know. So let's hope it continues that they respect us, right?
Yeah. It used to be that shipping was the necessary evil, the tool.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
To a project.
Definitely. Well, I want to say many, many thanks to the both of you. Thomas, thank you very much to you.
And thanks for Anders, your time.
Yeah, you're most welcome. And also, Anders, many thanks to you. And to all my viewers, hopefully thousands of them around the world, listeners and so on around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Thomas Kort. He is the managing partner of RMS Projects, headquartered in Hamburg, Germany, and with several other offices. And his colleague, Mr. Anders Poulsen, who is the head of projects, located in Denmark by RMS representative office. So thank you very much. And for more interviews in the near future, stay tuned to Project Cargo Weekly. Thank you.